Welcome to The Art Of, a multimedia docu-like series comprised of episodes that translate our journey of a deeper dive into understanding the vast world of creatives here in Cincinnati through conversations, visuals, and music. I, your host Deuces, creator and founder of this series, will be taking you on an immersive experience through Cincinnati's culture of creativity. At the end of each episode, we will present to you every platform and outlet you can tap into to check out this immersive experience and through other unique ways as well. Also, stay tuned to the end as we will be showcasing original songs via music videos to visualize and bring each character's story to life. In this episode, I'm here to introduce you to a city cultural sensation, a character who sparked the taste buds of not only your favorite local food tasters of Cincinnati, but also national celebrities and food connoisseurs. This guy's name is Christian Gill, and this is The Art of Cuisines. Let's go. Mr. Christian Gill, the cuisine chef himself.
How do all y'all out there?
Yes, sir. And this is The Art of Cuisine.
Art of Cuisine.
So, my man, you
roll
know
that
what?
Music.
What'd you say?
Play that music.
Play that music.
Sway, play that music.
So, man, you know, it's interesting. I've been like, I'm the type of dude that like researches and like, it's just like streaming online, just checking out people and stuff. And I was just like coming across things and like, I seen that you were just at multiple different events in like literally like the past like 2.5 weeks, probably like 3, honestly.
Yeah.
And the recent one that I seen you at, which was so interesting because it really does dive into the world of you as, you know, an artistic chef here in the city, was this food fight that you had at FC Cincinnati. Man, can you tell me about that?
So Food Fight 513, it's an event that has existed for 11 years now. It was started by Mike Floria and his partner Lee Enderley. They owned Maribel's Eat and Drink, food and drink over at, it was in Oakley. And then before that, I think it was down on the river, but like they started it just as like a Monday night get together for people in the food and beverage industry that don't really ever get to see each other just because we're always working. And so they started it as like their own local chopped competition just to keep everybody like commiserating, keep everybody involved and just, you know, get to see everybody. And then the last one that we had before a hiatus was 2020 in January. And then, of course, COVID. And then we didn't have one again until last year. Mike and Lee passed it on to Kayla Robinson and I. He put it up for grabs. And Kayla and I were like, yeah, we'll take it. And he was like, cool, because that's who I wanted to take it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a massive event. Just, you know, over 500 people show up. The door proceeds go to the Lee Initiative, which is a nonprofit that is all about boosting and elevating people of color and women in the food and beverage industry that don't necessarily get the opportunities that they deserve and they've been hustling for. Mm-hmm. And so the Lee Initiative builds and develops these people, and they're based out of Louisville. So it's kind of regional. It's a regional charity.
Yeah.
And then also, of course, it helps Cincinnati in terms of food and beverage. And so we took it over last year and, you know, just found the FC Cincinnati. They were willing to let us put it in the Tunnel Club for a reduced price. And then we brought it back this year and it's just growing. Like, it's growing. It's just like Chops. You have 3 rounds. You have the first round, 3 competitors, second round, 2 competitors plus the champ. And then the third round, the winners of round 1 and round 2 go head-to-head against each other. So it's a lot of fun. The mystery baskets in each round, just like Chopped, are all local ingredients. So you have 5 local ingredients you have to use. There's a limited pantry. The ingredients are dumb because we pick them. They're real stupid. Like,
he said they're dumb.
They're dumb. They highlight some of the best in Cincinnati in terms of creators, vendors, farmers, developers, food purveyors. So like it highlights the best, brings the best out, like all the chefs, the line cooks. And like now, like in the last 2 years, just because we've been more public about like promoting it and making people aware of it, we've had a lot of the general public come out. So, you know, there's been some backlash in the community about like, oh, like it shouldn't be a public event, it should just be underground. And I'm like it's all about the industry. Like everyone should be aware that it exists. They should want to come out. They should want to see, you know, line cooks throw down against, you know, their chefs. Like we've seen that where like sous chefs have beaten their chefs in food fight. So it's wild. It's cutthroat. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, like Kayla and I host it. So we co-host, co-produce, co-organize, like all the things.
Mm. You know, I think that's super interesting that you brought like the commercial industry here to Cincinnati for other chefs to experience what they're watching on TV, you know, to like, because when you're in that experience, like when you're on the couch watching it and you know you're a part of that experience, you're like, you're a chef, right? And you're seeing this on TV and you're like, dude, I could do that, you know? Yeah. And then you actually put them into the position and it's like, well, can you do this? Nah, now?
Can you do it? Like, right. You know, people talk a lot of mess about, you know, when they see Kayla or I or other people on TV, like, oh, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that on these shows? And it's like y'all don't realize, like in the heat of the moment, my brain is clicking through what's familiar, the things that I know I can do in this amount of time. Like there's a lot happening. Yeah. Like there's some Rain Man level stuff happening, like when the time starts, and like the clock is always real, and like our clock is real too. And I think that's one of the things that we really appreciate about Mike and Lee creating the event is like they kept it true to, you know, creating food, just real simple, cut and dry. Like take these ingredients, make something bomb, try to win. That's it.
Yeah. No, and I think that's amazing, man. I think it's Cincinnati's such a small hub in general with any industry out there, right? But it's such a special place because we're a small hub but a very popular city compared to the other popular cities that are here in the United States. And so that puts us in such a niche position when it comes to bringing what's commercial and bringing it back to the city. So when you have this food fight that, which for one, I give you nothing but applauses when it comes to working with the local like world here, when it comes to what would we say, like the food industry, right?
Yeah, food and bev. Yeah.
You know, as far as companies and like the stuff that they create in order to use as items to work with these chefs, right? Like to be able to do that and then put it in the forefront in front of people, man, that's amazing. Because you go to a food fight like this, you see these chefs that you might not have ever seen.
Yeah, there's always cats that you've never seen cook. You don't get a lot of, they don't get a lot of press. You don't hear about them a lot.
Right.
And they come out and they throw down and they absolutely crush it. And like this year, especially like last year was like the first year we introduced the ability to like foodies, home cooks, random people that love food, that they could put their name in the pot if they want, because we draw names randomly for who fights and who judges. And last year was the first year we did that, and we had a lot of people put their name in that they don't, you know, they're not professionals, and none of them won. Like they didn't win, but like they put their name in, and it hopefully gives people that aren't in the food and beverage industry more insight and shows them like how tough it really is to be in the industry and to create with little, create with almost nothing, create with a lack of funds. Like it's tough. And like we had one cat this year that like it was a little like because like, you know, there's people in the industry are like, you know, it's, you're taking away from the integrity of the event by like letting people that aren't chefs compete. And I'm like, well, last year only so many of y'all put your names in, like, so either y'all are scared or you just, what, lazy? Like, scared or you lazy? What do you want to do? Or, like, you just want to see other people compete, but, like, you know, you're going to talk all the trash, but not put your name in the pot. And then you got these bold, clueless people putting their name in the pot. And this one dude was just like, he's like, you know, I graduated high school, and I'm not a cook, I'm not a chef, I ain't nothing, but I watch a lot of Food Network. Completely lost. Like, lost. Was trying to, like, Jeff Harris, you know, James Beard nominated, like Grammy accommodated Jeff Harris.
Yeah.
From Nolia. Sitting in the front VIP with his wife Heather.
Oh, no.
And this dude is like looking down like, help! And like, then like I look at Jeff, I'm like, don't you dare. And he's like, I'm not. I'm like, don't you do it. Jeff, don't you do it. Don't you do it, bro. Like, you know, don't do it. And yeah. like this but like this dude was completely lost. And like I kept going behind him. I'm like, bro, make something. And he's like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, what you put your name in the pot for? And he was like, oh, I thought I could do it. And I was like, do something.
Mm.
Like, you gotta do something. You put your name in the pot. Last year we had this chick. This lady put her name in the pot. She got drawn to fight. And she was like, I just wanted to judge. And I was like, nope, I don't care you wanted to judge. Get that apron and get in this kitchen. You got drawn to fight. You don't get to pick. We kept trying to tell people that. And like, so the public is starting to see, like, it's not a joke. Like, we take it very seriously. So like it's trying to make sure that we pay homage and respect to what Mike and Lee started.
Yeah.
And then also expose it to more than just, you know, the food and beverage industry. Like, everybody should be able to see it.
I think you are a core presence here in the food industry in Cincinnati, in the local scene, and I think in the commercial scene, not only being a Black artistic chef, right? Because even though, you know, with you being, you know, the art of cuisine, which I think definitely signifies, like, the time right now, but I think for what you are, like, you know, like we were just speaking on prior before we got on, like, you're a global artist. Like, you're a global chef. Like, your palette for what you're able to create goes far beyond the art of cuisine. And I think for chefs that end up hearing, for chefs and artists of different natures, right, that end up hearing your piece, I think they'll recognize how important it is to be able to utilize your experience on versatility.
No.
You know, I think that you really signify that as a chef, right? Like, me as a musician, like, I'm over here like, you know what, as a musician, like, you could really understand, like, how to utilize yourself in your craft just from understanding Christian Gill's experience as a chef. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about, you know, like, when it comes to the colors and how you mix the spices in and, you know, like, how you approach the commercial world when it comes to dealing with, you know, like, national TV shows and then bringing it back to the local world. Like, there's a balance there, wouldn't you say?
No, I agree. There's definitely a balance of trying to, it might be abrasive. I don't even care if it's abrasive, but like, it's code switching.
Code switching, yeah.
It's code switching.
Which is familiar within the Black community. Correct. If we want to be completely honest.
Yeah, we want to be real about it. Like, it's code switching. And it's something that we've learned to do just to survive. Mm. Like, you know, it's not, we'll get into culture, subculture, and like embracing it and adopting other society, social norms and other cultures and subcultures in order to fit in and be accepted. But we will get into the fact that, like, it is it's code switching from commercial, a grand, like, national scale to bringing it back home, intimate and local, and being able to convey all of those things locally and, like, convey flavors locally. Like, it's code switching while still being unique and real and just being sincere about it. Because there are chefs, and I will say that Cincinnati is the opposite. Like, Cincinnati is the opposite of, like, chefs that are stubborn and never change their ways. Cincinnati adapts and evolves because it realized the food and beverage scene and chefs. We adapt and evolve because we realize we have to, like, and because we want to. Like, it's a want and a need to adapt and evolve and become even more creative and become just more inspired and create new things that people love. Like, we have to stay within this realm of comfort for Cincinnati, whereas when I step outside of Cincinnati, I can be goofy as all get out about what I'm creating. Like, what I'm, like, really refining the art of cuisine while I'm on the road is a blessing, and it is something that I have the honor of doing, and I've worked really, really hard to get to the points where I can do it, you know, right, with Spiceology, with TV and private events and stuff. Like, being able to go outside of Cincinnati and learn and absorb and then create on the road. What I create in, like, if I do a pop-up or a private dinner in New York or on the West Coast, like, stuff like that, like, what I create there, while it might still be rooted in some of the traditional fun things that I create in Cincinnati, there is like a point to where I will stop, or I will adjust the creativity flow. Like Bob Ross is a great example. Bob Ross will create a whole painting that is like summertime and a lake and all this stuff. And then you like, you following along, you like, yeah, man, like Bob Ross, like he's chill. And then he gets a wild hair, like one afro hair goes out of nowhere. And he's like, let's just turn this into a winter scene. Like all of a sudden there's just snow. We're going to grab the polar white and the polar bear this. And we're going to grab the Arctic chill, blah, 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 gray. And then we're going to mix all these up. And you're like,
He's adapting.
He's adapting. He's adapting. Like, you know, he just feels wild. He gets wild on it.
Yeah.
He adapts. And like, I will do that outside of Cincinnati, but like within Cincinnati, I step it back, and not because I feel like Cincinnati can't handle it on a cuisine scale.
Mm-hmm.
It's because in order to be successful in Cincinnati, you have to, it's baby steps. Like, yeah, little pieces. Like you put snow on one tree. don't turn the lake into ice and put snow on the cabin in the background, and then all of a sudden all those mountains that were all green and now they all cap white and look like Everest. Like, you got baby steps. It's baby steps. That's what, yeah, what Cedric the Entertainer said in Barbershop. Yeah. Baby steps, Calvin. Baby steps. Can't just believe and go out here and do all this stuff at one time. Like, that's what it is. And so it's like that code switching, that culinary code switch of come back home, and it's like, okay, I know that Cincinnati's threshold for spice is here. Mm. Whereas I go to Los Angeles or go to like Seattle, you know, Spokane's, like stuff like that, like the thresholds can be different.
Okay.
And so it's like adjusting that. It's adjusting, you know, the type of cuisine. Like Cincinnati, Jeff, like we've had, I don't even going everywhere, but like, you know, we've had some dope like staples in Cincinnati for like Creole Cajun, but like we've never had anything like Jeff Harris at Nolia, where it's like it's this rooted, real Ninth Ward, like New Orleans, Gullah, Gulf Coast, rooted heritage.
Yeah, like real deep-rooted.
Deep-rooted.
Like deep-rooted black type
cuisine,
of cuisine.
Black Southern cuisine. Mm. We've never had that in Cincinnati to this level. And for it to be refined and on, like, a fine dining scale is just clutch. Like, because it's more accessible, whereas, like, you go hook fish and chicken. Most hook fish and chickens, where are they? They're in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be real bold as a non-black person,
and so it's not accessible to those that are predominantly in Cincinnati. Correct. Unless you're from like, that community.
Correct. It's, yeah, there's an unwillingness or hesitation to step into some of those communities.
Yeah.
But then you got like Jeff, who's like one of the only black restaurant owners and chefs in the city downtown.
Yeah.
You know, you got Derek over at Pata Roja too, like just over the spot. Like, and it's like you, the exposure and the being able to represent on that level and like use their skills to code switch, to translate what they love about food to something that's comfortable to a point. Like, it's still adventurous, but it's something that's comfortable and approachable for the average consumer in Cincinnati. And so I do that on a national level when I'm stepping outside of Cincinnati. And sometimes I'll do it often. I do it commercially too, like on the competitions. A lot of times I have to do it because they just force me into, there's no way I can't. Like, I've done enough TV to where like you don't want to see me make the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Like you want to see me make the same Bob Me on Bobby Flay and then make it on Grocery Games or something
right.
else. Like, then you're just gonna be like, you don't know nothing else.
Right.
And so like there's this motivation and ambition to learn and create new things and step outside of my comfort zone with flavor, just so that I can keep being successful on TV as well as bringing new fun things to Cincinnati.
Dude, I love that too, man. I think honestly, man, you're more of an orchestrator. Like you're more of an orchestrator at the end of the day when it comes to this food industry than you might think. You probably think this, I don't know, but like from my perspective,
I
think that you are, especially how you just explained it. Like, I think that people have their positions that they're creating, right? For the industry, for the food industry to move forward, right?
Yeah.
And it's allowing more accessibility in a very while also keeping the integrity of what it is, right? Because like someone like Nolia, right?
Yeah,
he's keep the, his name's Jeff.
Yeah,
Jeff right. Harris. So I've never met him yet. Shout out to Jeff. You're amazing. Ooh. Like, absolutely amazing. But what Jeff is doing is he's keeping the integrity for the community that's deep rooted within him by also making it accessible within the city that he's in because of how the city operates, right?
Yeah.
So I think, but from what you're doing, you're creating this accessibility to different cuisines in the city that nationally, and then you bring that experience back. Whether you bring that cuisine that you created on that channel, or you bring the experience that you created and you bring it back to Cincinnati, you bring it back to where people are able to get access to it at some point in time, whether it's from you or it's just from the experience that they experience later on. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you.
And I think that's being called an orchestrator. You know, you become this person who places an experience here, someone grabs a hold of it, and then they experience it at some point in time, and they don't recognize that you just ended up bringing something into the city that people don't recognize at some point. So kudos to you, first off.
I guess, thank you. I personally, like, my lack of self-worth won't let me, like, enjoy that as much as I probably should, but, like...
Man.
Because I feel like it's... Without, like, I don't have a restaurant anymore. You know, there's no Boomtown downtown. So, like, not having that makes it... It makes it harder... Nah, never mind. It doesn't make it harder to stay relevant because I'm not... Like, there's a certain level of relevancy...
That's... Yeah.
That you... Like, that everybody wants, but at the same time, like... I've hit that point now where it's just like, make the food I can, do the pop-ups that make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep putting food out there and do Food Fight. And that's enough. Like, you're right. Like, you get to see these cool, innovative, fun things, hopefully creative things on
Definitely on creative. TV, yeah.
That I'm creating. Like, you get to see all that. And then... That does tend to inspire people, like, you know, friends that are like, oh man, or like people in the industry are like, hey, you made this. And so, like, that's dope. Like, it's a good rewarding way to, like, still feel accepted and wanted by Cincinnati. Because, like, when Boomtown closed downtown, like, I definitely felt like, I don't know. I felt like I failed. Like, obviously a failure because, like, it closed. And then I felt like, since he's done with me, like, since he's not wanting me anymore.
Well, that was a pride and soul thing, too. Like, that was your baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I think...
It was me and PJ's baby.
Right.
Then it became my baby.
Right.
And then, yeah, it just...
Yeah.
The whole yeller.
Which is understandable, though.
Yeah.
Which is definitely understandable.
It's not just me. Like, there's plenty of chefs around the world, they're like open and close, grand opening, grand closing. Like, that just, it's what happens.
That's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Like, everybody's just like, oh, Jay-Z, that grand opening, grand closing. Nah, he's for serious. So, like, it's a real thing.
He literally just quoted the Jay-Z line. Shout out to Jay-Z.
Shout out Jay-Z.
Hove! You know what's interesting, too, though, man, though, is within the whole, like, world of what we're currently speaking on at this time when it comes to the value of that. What advice would you give to those, like, upcoming chefs and people that are inspired by the food industry here in Cincinnati to change the realm that we're in, to put it in the positions that we know that you and other chefs that are on your tier hoping for it to be? Like, what would you tell them as far as advice, you know, if they're trying to be in your guys' position?
I would tell them the same thing, which is eat everything.
Mm.
Number one, above all else, that's my number one. Eat everything. Anything you have access to, eat local. Eat everything local. Try new things local. Try new things when you go abroad. Like, don't go to Texas and then just eat Texas Roadhouse. It's eat everything, because in the process of eating everything, you're going to want to understand not just the like flavor, the sensory makeup of what you're eating, you're going to want to understand the execution and the steps to create what it is that you're eating. Like you're going to want to recreate it and replicate it yourself, to do the best you can to replicate it and recreate it. And then from there, you're going to find these new techniques, new steps, new executables that you can rearrange and reapply and create all of these new things from just trying new things. So eat everything. Like, eat everything, continue to be inspired and be motivated to try everything. Go wherever you can. Like, even if you, like, you can't go to some big old city hub, like, go to Columbus, new food there. Go to Louisville, new food there. Go to Yellow Springs, go to Indianapolis, go to Westchester. And you in Westchester, come down here. Like, it's, you know, go to Frankfurt, go to, like, find the places around you within 10, 15 miles, whatever it is, go there. You'll find something that's new and something that can be inspiring because someone there has been inspired by something and has learned to create. So, like, because, like, artists, like, when we talk about music, what were you saying? There's all these new categories, new genres of music, because something that cannot be defined by something that already exists.
Yep.
It's the same thing with food. Like, people try to be like, oh, well, that's just Asian. No, it's not just Asian. Like I'm saying, like, it's Indochina plus, you know, West African or whatever. Like, be inspired to create. You're going to create something new. And if you take your time to learn what those flavors are, learn how to make it, and season your food properly, you can create something bomb. You can create a new art piece, a new masterpiece that, like, people will love. I also just am satisfied with creating. Like, creating, not just for the sake of creating, but like creating with purpose, just like you. Like, I creating with purpose, whatever the message is that I want to get out via food, via, you know, content, whatever it is, like, I'm happy doing those things. So it might never be enough because I don't need it to be enough. Like, to me enough right now is complacency. Like, I don't want to grow complacent. I want to be content, I want to be happy, but like, enough is not enough right now. Hustle never stops.
Never stops.
Never stops.
It never, never, never stops. Yeah. One thing I do want to ask before we get off, man, because this was great. This was great talking to you, was if you could give a value, I want to say habit, but a value that other creatives can inherit for themselves from your perspective, from your world, that you have within yourself that allows you to keep going forward, to not be complacent, and to always be in that level of grit, right? What type of value would you want people to inherit so that they can be successful?
Humility. Humility, not just from not learning and accepting, you know, not learning humility from just your faults and your shortcomings, but being humble enough and having the humility to be able to ask for help and accept help and collaborate with others. Like, you will learn so much more from other people within your creative field and your art if you just humble yourself to the idea of learning from them and letting them help you sometimes. Like, that's been huge for me, because I was a chef that, like, I want to help for anybody. I want anybody to steal my ideas. But, like, one of my good friends who's a pastry chef, like, one of the bomb chocolatiers, not only in town but in the world, Rashid, like, literally said, if we don't, like, there's no reason to hold all these recipes. Like, it's not exclusive gold. If we don't teach the next generation how to make the things that we know how to make that are bomb, if we don't teach them how to make that, then who's going to carry it on? Like, who's going to continue to tell that story through cuisine if we don't teach somebody else how to do it? It's if we just try to hold on to these things, to these talents that we've developed, and to these skills, and to these, like, applicable processes, and we don't learn from other people and share those with other people, like, who's going to continue to do it? who's going to pass it on? They can only draw so much from just experiencing your art, listening to your music, and they can only draw so much from eating the food. But sometimes, like, and when they have that drive to want to learn how you made it, and to like learn what programs you use, what software, what lights, what microphones, like when they learn those things, and they're not learning those things to copy, they're learning those things to improve and better upon themselves. Like, that's what we want. So being humble enough and having the humility to accept that help from other people and give help to other people is the only way you're gonna be a better creative. It's not the only way, but that's like one of the key ways you will be a better creative. That's how it's worked for me. Over and over and over and over.
Love that. Love that.
Sitting stewing that for a little while.
Nah, he said, go ahead and let that digest a little bit.
Yeah. This is cuisine.
Yeah, the art of cuisine. Bring it back. You know what I mean? This is why we do the Art of Series, is because the level of advice that's given from creative to creative is beyond gold, you know? And I think that's the most important thing. So, Christian, man,
yes, sir.
I thank you, bro,
deuces,
so much for being on this episode, man. You guys, this is The Art of Cuisine with Christian Gill, the man, the myth, the legend himself. And if you guys have any questions or anything, all you got to do is hit up the man, the myth, the legend himself. And obviously, he is a human, and he is more than willing to converse with you guys. But 100%. This is The Art of Series with Christian Gill and The Art of Cuisine. And Christian, I'll see you later, brother.
Yes, sir. See you around.
No, you want a salad. Toss it, toss it, toss it, toss it. Say she wants a salad. Shake it, wanna taste it, taste it, taste it now. No, you want a salad. Caesar, 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 Caesar. Give her that salad. It'll please her, please her, please her, please her. Oh, the salad, the apples are on. It's gonna make you to go. It's gonna shake it on up. Give her the ranch, I'm gonna French and then slam it. Gonna get down the jam and gonna take it, shake it, shake it now. The salad's up. A salad, crouton, 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 crouton. Give me that Caesar on the futon, 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 futon. The salad, I'm sipping and shaking. I got your leg a quaking, gonna lick it on up. Corners and ranch, I'm gonna make you feel fancy. You know I ain't no Nancy, gonna shake it, shake it, shake it now. Y'all, but I'm still hungry.
Thank you for listening to The Art of Cuisine featuring Kristen Gill. This series was created by Deuces Cunningham, directed by Deuces Cunningham and Simeon Collins, executive produced by Cincinnati Public Radio, VP of Content at Cincinnati Public Radio, Janelle Walton. Produced by Deuces Cunningham. Produced by Simeon Collins. Director of Photography, Solo Films. Podcast edited by Deuces Cunningham. Visuals edited by Simeon Collins, Maya Earle, and Solo Films. And music produced and directed by Deuces Cunningham. From Cincinnati Public Radio, this is The Art of Series.